Hello, this is Josh Carmichael. The following is a sermon I had the privilege of preaching at New Covenant Presbyterian Church in Selma, Alabama. It is our prayer that the Lord Himself will minister to you by His Word and Spirit as you listen. Colossians 3:18 to 4:1. The Christian... what do they call it? The household code, or I'm going to call it attitudes for life. I'm going to cover this whole section in brief. I'm going to call it attitudes for life. And different ones of us at different points in life, at different places, even within these stations of life that Paul addresses now. We've been in Colossians. We've considered what it means to be raised with Christ, living in Christ, and how in particular in the church, the Spirit of Christ and the Word of Christ directs us. Well, when we leave these doors and go home and go out to our place of living and our place of business and our place of social situations, Paul has some instructions for that as well. I'm going to read 3:18 through 4:1. Again, remembering all that we do, we're doing in the name of the Lord now. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, as we seek now to study your word and get some basic principles, be reminded of some basic principles that we'll seek to apply in the home, in the community, in the workplace, we pray that you would give us fresh eyes to see and ears to hear these admonitions, and that you would be pleased to work them out in our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Whatever you do, do all in the name of Jesus. Just as you've received Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in Him. Those instructions we've received these past weeks have prepared us now to receive these instructions of home and community and work life. Each section, about every other verse, tells us to do it in the Lord. So the Lord is going to be, as we seek to have develop and remember good attitudes for life, the Lord. We're doing this in the Lord. All these instructions are in the Lord. We don't just sing and express our attitude of gratitude here within these walls, but we should take it out into our homes, our workplaces, in the community. We should do everything we do as representatives of the Lord Jesus. So Paul, at this point, using really formulas not unlike would have been some formulas of his day as a Roman citizen with a Hellenistic background, he gives some rules for living, what many commentators call it a household code. I'm just going to look at this in brief, each section. We're going to work through this. Wives, husbands, children, fathers, and I think by extension it'd be fair to say parents. And then try to apply that the bondservants and masters as well. Let's just go through it. There's further, again, I'm not going to try to bring in everything he says in Ephesians. We can read Ephesians for some similar instruction. I'm just going to take these for what it is in the context of this letter to the Colossians. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. In the Lord. Just a reminder, this has nothing to do with inferiority, but with Christ's, the Lord's calling and God's, it goes in other places. Paul takes us back to creation when he's applying the ways that husbands and wives and the leadership in the church even. In this place, he is using this word, submit. It is a word that in other places, it does say our entire attitude within the body of Christ should be one of looking out for one another's interest, not only the interest of our own. Submission involves recognizing our place within the social order created by the one true living God, in this case, the home, husbands and wives. It's saying, wives, submit to your husbands. I think our most basic application here and for us to think about and something that we, again, these are instructions we can both apply specifically in our own context. We can by extension apply them in other areas. But to the wives, to willingly follow your husband's leadership. Follow your husband's leadership. Don't undermine it, but seek to follow it. Particularly, I think there is a context here of a Christian, he is saying this to believers. Now, obviously, but God's commands are for the whole world, but he's teaching here within the Christian church. Wives, seek to follow the leadership of your husband, especially as he seeks to follow Christ. And as we as husbands do this imperfectly, we do need grace and prayers. Just one note, F.F. Bruce reminds us, Paul, contrary to much popular opinion, actually places the essential dignity of women in general, the dignity of women in general, and wives in particular, on an unshakable foundation. The Bible always lifts women up, where the current culture of the day, both Roman culture and Jewish culture, did not respect them the way Christ and his apostles do. So wives are told to submit to their husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, in this case, told to love your wives and not to be harsh with them. Love them. Do not be harsh. Real spiritual leadership involves service. Real spiritual leadership involves service. And so this is more than just affectionate and romantic attraction and love, though that's included. This exhortation is for a husband. Husbands, we are to have active and unceasing care for the well-being of our wives. Active and unceasing care for the well-being of our wives. That's what Paul is calling the church to, calling us to as individual wives and husbands together as he gives us some instructions. Just as Christ served the disciples, even to the point of washing their feet, so the husband is to serve his wife, putting aside his own interest to care for her. And then a wise wife will be careful not to undermine the leadership her husband is seeking to offer. He then goes on to children, and then he says, fathers, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. I would just point out today for our purposes that the Lord recognizes the way that we, and this goes on throughout our life, whatever our age, obviously realizing there comes a point, and really at any point in life, we can lose our fathers and mothers in God's providence. But honoring is one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. God recognizes the way that we honor our parents. We've just been remembering and praising God for the way one of our own in our congregation honored her mother, even to her mother's last days. When it got really hard, that's a good example we just witnessed. So children, we're to obey our parents, and God recognizes it. God doesn't miss anything. He sees when we do this. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Again, as I was reading and thinking and praying and wondering how this applies, and I had Betsy read an F.F. Bruce commentary that I love. That's from, I think it was published in 1957. Some wonderful things he had there. One of the things that I think it is in his, he mentioned something that I seek. He says, we're training our children to be gentlemen and ladies. And that as training them to be Christians, we're assuming that within that being a Christian, they're going to be gentlemen and ladies. So, and again, and we can apply this. We have to think about how do I apply this now at the age of my children? And I'm dealing with this at home as my children grow. How do we apply it to adult children? How do we apply it to grandchildren? We should care for our children. We should offer them firm discipline administered in love. We don't want to nag them, deride them, or destroy their self-respect. We don't want them to quit trying. But nevertheless, we don't want to be afraid to correct them. We don't want to indulge them. We want to set appropriate boundaries and guidelines. And for the children, and again for us, really, the larger catechism applies all of these types of things to every aspect of life, to authority. Any authorities over us, even now, we don't want to take their authority to embitter us. But we want to take the authority and within it live securely and happily and freely within the boundaries God gives us. Now, thinking of this whole everything so far, just the home life. There's a famous novel by Tolstoy that within it, there's a quote, all happy families are more or less like one another. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own particular way. All happy families are more or less like one another. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own particular way. It was interesting for me to think about this. I think he's saying here that there are many ways that family life can go wrong, but as believers, we can certainly say this. Christians only go right and only share being right together in our families when we're subject to Christ. When our home life, when you're home right now, whether you live alone, live with one other person, live in a large family, whatever it may be, as we allow our households to be subject to Christ, where we apply our faith in the nitty-gritty of everyday life, where our faith is expressed, is applied, where we encourage faith, where we nurture faith. Those are homes that submit to the Lord. Tony Evans would call them homes living under the kingdom principle. He wants to help bring up a generation of kingdom men and kingdom women who look to God's kingdom. And further, one other thing on this whole issue of just home life. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying the Proverbs, where it assumes that it is in our homes where moral instruction and formation occur and will continue to occur, and where social duty is inculcated. When it gets down to brass tacks, it's in our homes. We're under the lordship of Christ. In our homes, under the lordship of Christ, we learn to control our anger. We learn to control our rage. We learn to make sure we don't speak abusively, but we speak words to build up. It's in home that we learn to put away things like lying and learn to live with truth. When we're little people, our home is the training ground for life. But really, does it not continue to be the training ground for life? Let's not forsake this place of basic training. It is to our own peril that we do that. He goes on to, as our translation puts it, bondservants and then masters. This isn't the time to try to go into the biblical understanding of, at the time, the current day slavery, which other translations will say slaves and masters and slaves and masters. I do think the bondservant has a particular context to it that can translate, and I am going to apply it more to our day to the employer and the employee. I don't want to dismiss, though, the situation that it was. It was slavery. Paul in Philemon, we see how Paul addresses this. I do want to say this. Christianity didn't just replace the governing structures of life immediately. So Paul is encouraging them to be believers in whatever situation of life they're in. All the social structures aren't just abolished when we become a Christian. We have to live in very, I mean, you and me, and if we look at our lives, we've lived where we've had to deal with blatant unbelievers that had authority over us that we had to live as believers under their authority. I mean, can be applied. I do want to say this, though, too, before I say a few things about how we can apply this. So, again, Christianity doesn't replace government and social structures immediately. But also, I want to make a point here before I get into the text, just for a few more minutes, that, and I've mentioned this before, I don't know if I read this whole section or what made me miss this, but I know I've mentioned this on a Sunday night, but in the church, these social structures actually don't exist. We're God's people. There is no, that's where we're saying, there's no, I guess it's in Galatians, where he says, where is it in Galatians? There's neither, thank you. Yeah, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. I do want us to think about this. I don't know how it would completely apply, but again, as F.F. Bruce says, look, if there was in the first century church, a bondservant comes to know the Lord, grows in the Lord. Maybe he's appointed elder in his church where his master is not. His master is an ordinary member of the congregation. When we walk through these doors, that he would not be, at that point, in my opinion, as F.F. Bruce was saying it, that's abolished. Here, we're equal before the Lord. So he's then under the spiritual authority of his slave or his bondservant when he's at church. That's what F.F. Bruce was saying, and I think he's right. I just think for us, we don't really have that, but we do have various other societal relationships. Again, it could be the same thing for us. A boss, it could be a boss with great authority could be at church, and one of his most lowliest employees, he could be looking up to him in the Christian faith as an older brother in Christ. I just want to let that sink in, that here, whatever it is, these structures, now again, we're always called, and again, this is where the larger catechism helps us to act appropriately as those under authority to the appropriate authorities within structures where we operate in life. But in the church, we're equal before the Lord. I think within here, we just want that those younger want to respect those who are older. Those who are older want to be helped nurture those who are younger. But we are equal in Christ. So those under authority, I'm talking here the bond servants, fear the Lord as you do your work. For us, fear the Lord as you do your work. Work heartily to the Lord. You're pleasing Him and not men. God gave us work to do before the fall, and we should do our work heartily as unto Him. Work in a part of the fall. Work something God's always planned for us. If we could think of our work as part of that Romans 12, 1 and 2, a living sacrifice, if our work is part of our worship to the Lord, we can do it, and it'll take away some of that drudgery, some of the boredom, when we do sometimes find ourselves in a drudgery or a repetitive part of our work. And we want to do our work without complaining or resentment. God's given us work to do. Whether they're going out to the office, whether they're going to the factory, whether they're at home taking care of someone in our home, God's given us the work to do. Let's do it as unto the Lord. From the Lord. Again, I haven't pointed that out. I hope you'll notice in the text. In the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord, we're doing these things. You know, I'm going to mention this because it's part of my life. I think it's helpful for us. It always, when I was in Louisville as a student and a assistant pastor, where the church paid me more than I deserved and as much as they could because they didn't really have enough money coming in to pay an assistant. I took on the role as the, basically, you could say it was the janitor. Really, it was once a week getting the church ready for worship, because all these different things were happening in this church. We were really putting more money. We were sharing a building with Lutheran Church that already existed. And so when one of our elders had been the previous janitor, I took over for him when he couldn't do it anymore. And Dave didn't like it. He's like, "God, you're my assistant. You know what? It's okay. I needed the money. I was happy to be the church janitor, or whatever you want to call it. I don't care what you call it, maintenance person, whatever. It was good." But I remember Dave, it pained him that his assistant was cleaning the toilets on Saturday. It's all right. We do our work as unto the Lord. We serve God together, whatever the jobs we are. I saw a wonderful gentleman here in our presence yesterday cutting and trimming our church property. I'm thankful for him. He was doing his work as unto the Lord on a beautiful day. Those of you with authority, be just and fair in how you treat those under your authority. Pay your employees fair wages. Treat them well. Whether the boss or the employee, let's have integrity. Do our jobs responsibly. Christian employees, we should do... Here's what one... I got this from someone else, but I like it. Christian employees should do their jobs as if Jesus Christ were their supervisor. That'll change our way of thinking, won't it? The Lord's our supervisor. Christian employers should treat their employees fairly and with respect. A few application questions, and I will bring it to a conclusion. Several questions. Can you be trusted to do your best even when the boss is not around? I guess, husband, how about even if the boss is your wife or your husband, we're just at home. But can you be trusted to do your best even when nobody's watching? You know, in the place of business, our witness for Christ is on the line as we do our jobs. Again, for those with authority, would your employees have reasons? They ought to respect you within the job situation, but do they have reasons to respect you because of the way you treat them? May they do their work for you joyfully. Finally, let's examine our families, our homes, our communities, our work relationships. Do we relate to others as God intended? Do we relate to others as God intended? And as we think about that, let's remember a couple things. We want to, verse 23, I think, is a key to this whole section. Whatever you do, work hard on it, as for the Lord, not for men. From last week, another important one, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. And when you fail, and we all fail, and sometimes we fail miserably, well, that's when you got to go back to chapter 1. Actually, chapter 2. We could go to chapter 1, but in chapter 2, you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses. Confess, repent, there's forgiveness for husbands and wives and children and workers and employers who fell. He's canceled the debt. He set it aside. He nailed it to the cross. So let's start fresh and let's relate to others as God intended. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, who created man, male and female in your image, who causes children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to be born, who gives us families, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us, O Lord, to relate to one another as you intended. And when we don't, help us to forgive one another, even as you have forgiven us. We pray in Jesus' name.